For June the 17th, 2016, we talk about the recent E3 announcements and XCOM 2. Welcome to Level 154. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meissmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Big week. Huge week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is E3 week. It is Tuesday here after all of the big press conferences and stuff. But we're going to get to that. How's everybody doing here?
I'm doing good. Pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just picked up a new job, so
that is amazing. Yeah, that's great. We're gonna be. It is likely that we're going to be working in the same building.
Yeah, which I didn't know when I applied to the place. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, they're our neighbors. Yeah, so so that is cool. Oh, you also
this
got
is like I just started a new job, corporate espionage, <Yeah. laughs>
spying on a Piffio. Yeah, you also got a gaming PC, didn't you?
I did, and that is hugely exciting. I imagine we'll probably spend most of our time today on E3 stuff, mm-hmm. but I have played Overwatch, and it is good. I have played XCOM 2, and it is great. and yeah, that's all I'll say about that for now.
Well, that is awesome. Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't have an awful lot of time. I mean, like, okay, so we have time. We have an arbitrary amount of time to do this. Like, this can go on and on forever. I'm not sure when logic stops.
Yeah, if you look at the number of stories out there, we don't have a lot of time.
No, we don't.
I forget. Didn't like that Large Hadron Collider say eventually time will in fact stop?
I don't know. We have to ask Steins Gate.
Comes full circle.
Yeah, that is a... Well, it is a circular thing, isn't it? It's a big loop, right?
Yeah, that's why clocks are round.
The collider.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. I've never seen it all in one place.
All of time.
Considering this, David, I've never seen you and the LHC in one place.
Ooh, how do we know?
You know,
time to dig deeper.
But in Switzerland,
get it, 'cause it's underground.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, no, there's a, we've got a lot of stories to cover. We're not going to hit everything. I've just got a bunch of the recap kind of pages up here, and we're going to combine actually the multiplayer and the brief here as we talk about this kind of stuff. So let us go on to the brief player.
The brief player.
That was David's joke, by the way, from the pre-roll, and I'll probably have kind of like mixed and mashed the audio there. Why not?
The Brit player.
Oh man. Yeah, so this is E3. What I would like us to do is just kind of like go down the different conferences that we've seen and just kind of like call out the stuff that we that excited us the most out of it. So, sure. Things started off with Bethesda, right?
EA, I think.
EA. There we go. So, yeah, EA. I didn't see a lot here. I started out by saying, hey, let's be positive. And then I was like, not very positive. Anything stick out for you guys?
The Star Wars non-announcements had me just clawing at my eyes. Because they were like, we're going to talk about Star Wars. And I'm like, all right. And then they proceeded to talk about... There's going to be Star Wars and nothing else.
it was like a corporate orientation video.
Right. Yeah. Which the corporate orientation, there was a SNL skit that was the undercover boss for Kylo Ren. And that was fantastic. That's the kind of Star Wars corporate orientation stuff that I want.
Mm.
This is the bad kind of Star Wars corporate orientation.
Yeah, this was the bad kind where it's like, hey, we've got people with Wacom tablets.
Yep.
Wacom tablets?
Yeah, you know, the drawing tablets, WACOM. There are multiple ways to pronounce it. Also, Whack-a-Mole machines.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if this was like corporate Whack-a-Mole, I could get behind this.
Yeah, I didn't watch this live. There's a lot of sports stuff, too, which, I don't know. I don't feel like sports games have been a thing outside of the basketball games for a while.
When I feel like, how does how does that belong at E3? Like, we made another sports game this year. Isn't news.
I mean, it used to be more news when it was kind of a bigger poll, I think. But
well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, when you literally make the exact same game every year, you probably don't need to tell people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing they did as a part of all the sports games was acknowledge that they're going to have a much more official esports tournament structure.
Oh.
Sponsored by EA. There's going to be, it's like Challenger Series, which is just like anyone can participate in tournaments every weekend. Like, that's really cool. Yeah. Premier League is like mid-level events with different sponsors. And then there's like, I forget the name of the top tier, but there's going to be like EA huge, you know, big prize pool competitions that are like the official Super Bowl of Madden. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Esports gets really weird when it's a sports game. When it's like League of Legends or something like that, I'm more okay with it. The sports esports is a little weird for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think that was cool to see that whole scene kind of more recognized and supported, especially at the ground level. And I'll be interested to see if they actually give that any teeth. A lot of these games that have an esports bent to them, people kind of clamor for a tournament mode where you can kind of jump into tournaments every weekend. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't have it. So maybe if EA faints that direction or goes that direction, other people will as well.
Yeah. So the way you felt about the Star Wars stuff, I felt about the Mass Effect side of it, which quite literally people drawing on Wacom tablets. No real announcement there. Ben, like, did anything stick out to you?
Titanfall 2 looked kind of interesting just because I like Respawn Entertainment, but the only real news with it is that they're trying to focus on a single player game in this game instead of it being exclusively multiplayer like the first one was. So they just showed tidbits of that. So that was slightly interesting for me, but
Yeah. I'm curious about Titanfall because of the grappling hooks.
Are there grappling hooks in it?
Yes, sir. Grappling hooks zip lines.
Oh, man.
It's the grappling hook singularity.
Everything has grappling hooks now.
But still, like, is there still rocket parkour?
I think a lot of the scenes that they showed of, like, the single player mission is, like, it's you interacting with your, like, robot or your Titan. If I don't know any of the vocabulary of this game, I haven't played the first one.
So I'm just imagining, from that, like, premise, I'm just imagining this as, like, The Last Guardian Robot Edition.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, yeah. I'm imagining probably not how it plays out, but I kind of like that image.
Some parts of Arkham Knight were The Last Guardian Car Edition.
The Last Guardian?
Early contender. David, how about you?
I'll be totally honest, the only one I watched was the PlayStation one.
Okay, yeah.
I'll talk about why later on off the thing, but things have been a little weird.
Okay. So let's look here. Next up is Bethesda, and this gives us two really exciting things. We've got Dishonored, and we also have Prey.
So Prey kind of sort of surprised me because I thought the original Prey was like kind of the original Duke Nukem Forever thing, like, you know, game that took forever to come out and then people just kind of didn't care about.
I mean, yeah, that was a game that was in development for a long time and it ultimately ended up being kind of being like a launch window Xbox 360 thing. And yeah, that was one where you played as a Native American in space.
Right, and didn't it get kind of, I don't know, stereotypy at some point?
Yeah, like when you died, you had to fight your way out of the spirit world.
Every video game that tries to do like a Native American story always like has that as a fallback for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, the spirits, all of that. Yeah. I don't know. Dishonored 2 has like this world switching kind of thing going on.
I didn't watch it, so say more.
Oh yeah, no, just instead of just blinking around and stuff, you're able to kind of like switch back and forth between what appears to be like a past and present kind of thing, a little
bit
where
cool.
time moves kind of slowly. Like it looks badass.
Can you switch to a world where Dishonored is good? I'm sorry, I had to.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I just want them to remove more choices. That's the only thing I want from this game.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So David Petrucco writes the good Dishonored 2, Titanfall 2, RE7 and Final Fantasy 15, the mess Skyrim HD, which we're gonna get to. That also happened here. I can already get most of that on PC with mods, he says, and then the music would be Terra's theme from FF6. What?
Oh, so the bonus question I asked is if you could have a live orchestra play you onto stage, give you intro music, what would it be?
Okay, there we go. Yes.
So that's why there are random songs tagged onto all these answers.
There we go. I didn't read that far in the question that you asked the people. Yeah, so Skyrim Remastered. This feels like Bethesda punting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't like Skyrim, and I'm not coming at this from like that angle. I'm not trying to do my
You're doing your type five on why Skyrim is bad.
Well, no, I'm not trying to do like my Stanley Parable type thing with this. Like, but I don't quite get the point, just because like, doesn't Skyrim even by today's standards still have pretty good graphics?
I think it's a pretty game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I know they just it's like I could understand say like Morrowind Remastered.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a ground up remake, like just to modernize that. Like that would be more effort than it looks like they're willing to put into it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But to your point, it's a punt. It feels like the low effort option.
Yeah. It feels like they're just trying to do something like the biggest argument that I can see for this thing existing is the fact that, you know, okay, so a lot of people play Skyrim on PC, but if you want to play Skyrim now or get into that, you're going to have to either play it on a PS3 or an Xbox 360. I don't even think that it's backward compatible on Xbox One, but I'm not sure. So don't even look. So like this is a way to keep it like available for people who want to play it nowadays, which is fine. It's just bizarre.
Still getting their money.
Oh, for sure.
For
sure. Yeah. Although I think that if you already own it, at least on PC, you get like an upgrade price for it.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's you know, more legit.
Yeah. I don't know.
But again, can't you just install mods that will look as good or better than what they're going to put out?
Not on console.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I could just see somebody
also,
good.
Possibly. Like I'm very intimidated to install any kind of mod, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's I'd probably like the way I would install a mod is I'd call David and be like, "Hey, want to come help me install a mod?"
So I tried sacrificing a chicken, but nothing's happening, and now my laptop is covered in blood. And you know,
oh, man, actually, no, that was
possessed by a chicken.
That was installing a god. You just summoned a chicken god. It is a very easy mistake to make. Don't worry, things will be fine.
Yeah. So
unless it goes crazy, you know, Zelda style, then you just run.
Yes. Guys, PC gaming is more complicated than I thought it would be.
So, like, with Steam Workshop, it's easier than you would think to actually do that, specifically with Skyrim, because that's, like, one of the ones that has the biggest support for that.
Really? It's like, so is there, like, through Steam you can install mods?
I think.
Okay. I that's interesting to me, because I've always been interested to try XCOM, the original XCOM, The Long War mod. Mm-hmm. Which just makes everything really long, among many, many, many other things. But I wonder if that's on Steam.
Gun barrels, hallways, penises.
Yes.
just increase length of all.
Everything.
Wait, what?
You see, he just said it makes everything long. I don't know.
No, it makes everything voiced by Justin Long.
Hmm.
But anyway, so that intrigues me.
Yeah. This is relevant to the Bethesda side of it, but Eric writes, Quake! I don't know about Quake. I didn't see.
I saw a blurb that they were doing like a Quake Arena, I think, like kind of a semi-modernized Quake Arena or something.
Yes, it is multiplayer only arena shooter, which I'm down with. Great.
Yeah, yeah. Doom is their single player horse and Quake is competitive multiplayer horse.
Which is kind of how it's been. Although, I mean, like Quake 1, 2, and 4 have single player modes, but yeah.
Right.
That
could be interesting. I feel like, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe the best play is just to like straight up make it for the people that, you know, want old school. But I feel like the challenge in that would be to make a updated game that doesn't feel just kind of retro while still you know, capturing, you know, what makes arena Quake style arena shooters different from, say, like Halo.
Yeah, I just want the railgun back.
So what I haven't played. I was more on Unreal Tournament. Wait, how is a railgun different than a sniper rifle?
It's just their sniper rifle. Except it shoots. You can customize the color of beam that it leaves behind, and you would do like jousting and stuff with it. It was like insta gib. If you hit most of the body, yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. Any other highlights from this? Dennis, did you see that there's going to be an Elder Scrolls card game?
Yeah, I've had people tell me that it's going to be good, who kind of may know, maybe in on it, like early stuff. And I feel like I should be more excited about it than I am, because I've reached the part of like CCG fatigue where I can't remember that many different cards and combinations.
Oh yeah.
So I've got only so much room for cards and stats and everything in my head. And I can probably recite any card in Hearthstone for you off the top of my head, which is amazing because that card pool is getting pretty large. But that means that everything else is just like Teflon. It falls right off.
So they don't retire cards?
They don't. They kind of do, but then that those cards also, you can still play them in a certain version of the game. It gets complicated. I've used all my card memory on Hearthstone. I'm told this one is cool, so I'll probably check it out, but I will be either hardcore net decking or playing with pre-made decks, and that never bodes well for sticking with a game long term.
No investment in it.
Yeah
Yeah, let's move on to Microsoft. Now, I caught a little bit of this live. You don't have to be so aggressively dismissive. they showed something great there. Oh my gosh, we happy few.
Yeah, that looks amazing. I had seen some of the older trailers for that, so I missed whoever they released to that, but I've seen some of the older trailers, and that looks really, really cool.
Yeah, like that looks super creepy. Oh my gosh.
The only thing, though, is, and this is, again, why I want this genre to die, I probably won't play it because it's a roguelike.
Is it?
Yeah, it's permadeath. Oh,
I did not realize that. It looked like a Bioshock-ass Bioshock game, just from the style.
I think I might have heard they kind of, they did, like, some initial testing or whatever, and people basically said, yeah, I kind of just want to play single player and not just roguelike. So I think I've heard that maybe they're stepping that back for like the story mode, but at least like the core game or whatever is a permadeath roguelike.
Yeah. But I love the idea of doing like this survival game in an urban kind of setting like that. Like that is great.
Well, and the graphic style and like, God, yeah, like the thing they're doing with it looks amazing.
Yeah, those really creepy masks. Like, I had, so by the time we Happy Few was on, I had this in another window on mute when I was watching the Apple stuff, and I was like, "What in the fuck am I seeing?" So, like, I want this really bad.
So
it kind of horribly wrong.
I know, Dennis, have you looked at this at all?
Are we Happy Few?
Yeah.
I watched the trailer for it, yeah.
Okay, I like, from the trailer and, like, from the stuff I've read, it kind of reminds me a bit from, like, some of the gameplay descriptions I've seen of Surya being hunted. but with, you know, kind of like Core said, a much more urban kind of, you know, in-your-face setting.
Yeah, urban, Sir, You're Being Hunted sounds fantastic. If that's the angle, I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah, the things I was reading was saying, like, you know, things like, you know, you can, like, craft noisemakers and, like, you know, to kind of draw attention and, you know, those sorts of things.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty cool, regardless of my grumping about other stuff.
Apparently, this game's coming to Steam Early Access in July as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I might actually break my no early access rule to mount out on that, because that looks great.
To get in on it before everyone is disillusioned with it.
Yeah, maybe. Like, just to see. At least to try it out. And also to give them money, because I like, they made something that looks real cool that I want to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird how Microsoft had, like, a bigger indie presence than Sony did.
Well, did Sony have any indie stuff?
They had a little bit of, they had a little bit in the sizzle reel at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a bizarre kind of, like, pivot for them. Not to use a douchey word, but...
I was a little bit surprised, you know, surprised they didn't have any yet, just from kind of a, I don't know, you know, just on the principle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just because it has been such a strong stance from their side in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Xbox One S and Project Scorpio.
So if the back of the PS4 is the console version of Goatsy, the Xbox One S is the console version of that one image of the like the holes in the Lotus pod or like a Suriname toad just photoshopped all over like somebody's skin. Like that thing is nothing but surface area. Like the whole thing is vent.
Yeah.
100% vent.
And it's like, what is it supposed to do for people?
So Xbox One S and Scorpio are Xbox One S and Project Scorpio are two different things. So Xbox One S is just kind of like a smaller, kind of like lower profile one, whereas Project Scorpio is like the upgraded system that will run like higher def games and stuff. It'll push more HDR, better pixels, as they say.
See, I feel like the farther we go, the more like all the things people complain about PC gaming are like the things they're trying to cram into consoles.
It's disheartening to see that they're taking away like the good thing about consoles, which is dependability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dependability and not having to install.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. It's remarkable that they said like, hey, here's this new smaller one. And also this system that isn't really performing that well here right now. We're going to make a new one in about a year and a half. So please buy the shitty one when you know the good one's coming.
Exactly. And that feels nonsensical to an amazing degree. Like to the point where like someone in a boardroom had to be like, this is stupid.
But Sony's going to do it.
So Sony backed off of saying anything about their Neo or 4.5, whatever you want to call it, in this show, which if I could unknow anything that I knew about it in advance, Sony made me, I was really happy with their show. Yeah. But knowing that 4.5 is lurking out there on the horizon somewhere really scares me. And what I would love to have happen is that Sony, you know, scraps the idea altogether and says, you know what? No, we figured out we have the horsepower to run everything on a regular PS4.
Neener, 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 Microsoft. Exactly. Yeah.
Juked you into doing it. that's not going to happen. Right. But that would be nice to see at least one of the console developers not completely screw over anyone who's bought their consoles.
Yeah.
So do you think the Scorpion console is a move to kind of bridge into VR, like so making it high def enough that you could wear VR and have it look pretty accurate?
They had a little bit of VR stuff on there with the Minecraft side of it. They had John Carmack come out with that, but that was like your VR. I don't know. I don't know if there is like a branded thing that is going to work with it. But you're,
I know some games are pushing VR. Like, I know we'll get into this later, but Resident Evil 7 is supposed to be VR compatible.
Yeah. For portions, it's very unclear, actually.
It felt really nebulous in a weird way.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see here. David, what stuck out to you?
For Microsoft?
Yeah, for Microsoft.
I didn't follow Microsoft. I don't give a... Like, my comment is, it seems like for the consoles, Microsoft is finally becoming Microsoft.
What's that mean?
Oh, in terms of, like, the... It's pretty spectacular how on computers, just Microsoft cannot help but do things to piss off consumers.
Hmm.
And it seems like they're trying to, you know, bring that expertise to their video gaming sectors.
Their core competency.
Like, I know. Just like in computer science, it seems like whenever Microsoft comes up, it's like, oh, yeah, and we have to do this idiotic thing because Microsoft fucked up. And like, I know, it seems like that I don't understand. It seems like there's some sort of internalized something.
Hmm. I mean, is it just the fact that they're so big, or, you know, like unwieldy? I don't know how big they are, but just that, like there seems to be like a massive strategy tax attached to everything they do.
I think it's maybe that combined with like a need for control.
Hmm.
But
I don't know. Ben, what stuck out to you?
I didn't watch the Microsoft one either. I only watched the PlayStation, so I only have read what you guys have already talked about.
I'm gonna hit two ones that stuck out to me here as well, just because I saw them. Gears of War 4 looked really boring to me. It looked like a Gears of War game, which is...
It looked really like a fourth game in the series.
Yeah, yeah. The most notable thing about it was, like, the characters didn't look like walking gas tanks, which is good. Anything like that.
Which is funny, because that, like, is what... That was an aesthetic that defined the series early on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of liked that, character model silhouette thing.
Yeah. The other thing that I saw that looks pretty cool to me is Scalebound. That's the new Platinum game where you're fighting gigantic monsters, like monsters the size of city blocks. Yep.
I saw some screens of that. That looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's very overtly like RPG like. Like there's a lot of like numbers and hit point counts and things like that. But it appears to be like what if Platinum had designed Dragon's Dogma a little bit. Yeah, which I'm down for. I'm looking at somebody shooting a spider the size of a city block with a bow and arrow.
And you lost me.
It's the size of a city block. It's not. Yeah.
There are no longer spiders on screen. There is just a portion of leg.
It is all spider. Yes, Arachno, the all spider. Oh, and then also, what's their name? The Limbo devs, their game Inside.
Which I've heard great things about it, but the trailer for Inside was very much a non-trailer.
Right.
Like, I watched it and was like, what the hell? And then I looked up conversation on it, and there was a bunch of people being like, no, trust me, it is awesome. Let me explain what it is. Which, yeah. I thought is what a trailer is supposed to do, but, you know, whatever.
Well, it's more of like a feel kind of thing. It's like a branding thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see here. Oh, there's a gameplay trailer. Yeah, it's a platformer ass game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was this the one with the kind of sort of ballerina looking chick?
Not that I can recall.
I know what you're talking about, but that I think that was a different game. That was for the Sony's press conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Bound, I think, maybe.
Hmm. Yep, this is this looks kind of like a like out of this world or something like that. Inside does, which is pretty cool. Let's see here. So not a lot of people wrote in about the Microsoft portion of that. So we can go on to Ubisoft. This, Ben, did you see anything about South Park, the Fractured But Whole?
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it. It's basically like the Avengers is the main storyline now, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I really adore the title of the game, but I mean, I'll probably play it. I mean, the last South Park game was really good. So
who's developing this one? Is this still Obsidian?
I would guess not, but that is just a random guess. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've not looked up much about this, so.
Yeah. What stuck out to you, Dennis?
The Eagle Flight VR thing looked pretty cool.
Can you summarize that for me?
Just, it's you fly like an eagle. The VR game, just a big, beautiful world. That's surprisingly intricate with different like tunnels and passageways and alleys that you can fly through, and you fly an eagle through them. So it really was not clear from the trailer if there's more to it than that. I figure there's got to be more game than just you fly. But that looked like the kind of thing, you know, living out that flight fantasy is the kind of thing I would want to do with a VR headset. So. That was cool to see. It's not immediately apparent from the trailer exactly how you're controlling the eagle versus, wearing the VR headset. Like the camera kind of trails the eagle, and I'm not sure if that's just because of the trailer or because that's how the game is or what have you. But
I could see it being like a lair kind of thing, either that or like a cockpit kind of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for so many of these, it's like it's hard to get a sense of it because like, yeah, it is marketing.
Exactly.
There was very little gameplay to be seen.
Yep.
I'm bummed out that Watch Dogs 2 is going to be in San Francisco.
Why?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Watch Dogs 2 was revealed. Nothing nearly as ambitious as some of those initial kind of gameplay things where they showed like, oh, you can shut down the entire city of Chicago's lights, you know, for this blackout for this one mission. Like most of what I see is kind of like regular GTA, you're shooting a bunch of people kind of stuff, which is a little bit of a bummer. Go ahead.
This means that you have expectations for Watch Dogs too.
Well, what I want, okay, so what I want is something that looks, that plays like the initial E3 stuff for Watch Dogs made me feel, you know, like that kind of like grand scale hacking kind of stuff, and also is in kind of a non-standard city. I don't know, so San Francisco makes sense for a tech kind of thing. However, like, it's not quite like, hey, it's New York or LA, and that's the only place where any game takes place. But like, Chicago was such a weird kind of thing. Like, I wanted them to like go to Austin or go to like Portland or something like that. Like, I wanted something, you know, kind of like just distinctive and not quite as I'm not shitting on any city that isn't LA or New York, quite the opposite. I want something that's not quite as like iconic or like stereotypical.
You do realize that San Francisco is a city that's not LA or New York, right?
I agree with that, but also San Francisco is like, you know what I mean? It's like stereotypical. It's like
it fits too well.
Yeah, it's an iconic American city, you know, in a way that you just like. I just don't dig it.
I think overall, yeah, I actually agree. Although I would say, I think one possibility, one way it shakes out good, potentially good, is if, you know, taking with kind of the tech theme and, you know, with the, you know, kind of what you said being a little bit less grandiose, if they try to do, I don't know, you know, more of a, you know, kind of a crime heist, you know, type approach to have. Like, I could see that working together to make a good game. Does that make sense at all?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
As I like sputter half sentences.
It strikes me as a really tragic backing away from the concept behind Watch Dogs.
Because
I think Watch Dogs at its core has a really, really cool concept. And I remember when they first announced the game, all it was talking about the concept of just how much data and electronics and everything is out there and what could you do if you could control that. And, you know, Watch Dogs under-delivered on that to such a huge extent that this feels like kind of a pathetic limping away from it.
They kind of said that you could just press the B button to hack anything, and it's just like, don't worry about logic, press B to hack.
Well, I mean, you're basically a techno wizard in Watch Dogs 1. Like, logic isn't a thing anymore. Huh.
Hack your lights.
Wait a second. I can control my lights with my voice. I'm a god. let's see here. So let's get to the old Sony. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I missed the first portion of this. Had to watch it on mute off to the side. But yeah, Dennis, did you guys end up going to the thing?
We did. I thought it was a good time. The crowd was not as jovial as last time. There was like a row of hecklers, and then everyone else was kind of silent. So
hecklers, what were they heckling?
Games in general, which is really funny. You know, it was someone who felt like they could be the popular person and get, I don't know, points for saying funny things.
Oh,
like they were trying to be funny.
God, who would try and be funny about video games?
Certainly not us.
Yeah. Well, this is an audience that has chosen us, whereas we did not. You know,
we did not ask for these
vigilante hecklers, but it was, they kind of got theirs because, you know, they were throwing out wisecracks for everything, and then the guy opening up the show, you know, kind of said, "Hey, you know, we want to." I forget exactly how it led into it, but he kind of made some comment about the tragedy in Orlando, and Sony stands with everyone in Orlando and the entire LGBT community and all that stuff. Yeah. And it was funny because he kind of led into it. The heckler kind of got midway through some kind of insult and then immediately stopped once he realized what it was.
Yeah.
So at least he had that much tact.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's right. Please shut up.
please don't heckle solidarity about...
Exactly. No. You were about to heckle that. You need to rethink your choices right now.
Yeah. Although, I'm going to make light of somebody talking about this thing. I'm not making light of the actual thing itself. The Microsoft press conference opened up with somebody mispronouncing the word tragedy.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We want to take a moment to talk about the tragedy. It's like, oh boy.
At least they weren't making rape jokes on stage like in previous years.
Yeah, that's good. You know, small steps.
Baby steps, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus.
But the games that Sony showed, holy shit.
Yeah, I know, right? So, of the ones that I watched, you know, some of them were on mute, and even the first portion of this were on mute. Like the majority of Sony's shit was just them showing shit. Like, they weren't talking about the shit. They were just showing the shit.
Mm-hmm. You can do that when you're in the lead by so far.
Jesus.
I'm not showbiting or anything. That's an honest, like, you know, they're I think they're far enough in front that they've got swagger.
Yeah. I would even say, like, I don't know that it talks about their success or speaks to their success. I just think that they're, I don't know, like,
it's a lot of content.
Yeah. It's the better way to do it. It's just kind of like, oh, like that, like this is going to be back to back. And they covered a lot of ground. It felt like anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, let's hit some highlights.
So I'll jump in with a couple. Starting with the first two, they showed a game called Abzu, and they just, that's one. I just mispronounced it the first time. And they showed another game called Bound. Did you guys see the trailers for these two?
I've seen some of the stuff for Bound, but haven't been able to like actually get all through it.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Abzu is like an ocean-type game where you're swimming around in the ocean. It just looks really pretty. Hmm. Kind of looks like Journey a little bit, but you kind of look like a scuba.
They didn't show this in the actual conference, though, did they?
They might not have. I watched the YouTube video, and it's like an hour and 50 minutes of the conference, but it claims to be the conference.
Wow, so they must have like lumped in a bunch of... They must have lumped in a bunch of indie stuff that they didn't put into the actual like theater.
Yeah, they did not show any indie stuff in the theater, including that game, Warbound.
Yeah.
They also have pretty painful commentary by people who are not into video games, but are acting like they're into video games.
Ouch. Terrible.
Somebody mispronounced someone's name and then said, "I know this guy. We go way back."
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I like to think that that's true, and just that at some point they got too late to correct the pronunciation of the name.
What's so Bound, is that the one with the like the red yarn, or is that different?
Yeah, that's the one where it looks like somebody from Cirque du Soleil like doing ribbon stuff. I don't know how to describe it. It looks pretty though. Both of those games both look really, really pretty, and I have no idea what the games are actually doing.
so you found the treasure trove of indie stuff that wasn't on the main stage.
Perhaps they buried it to the to the cut, the YouTube cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anything from kind of the AAA stuff that stuck out to you? Because we're a AAA video game.
Yeah. I mean, everything's really cool. I mean, we'll talk about probably all the stuff one by one. But the God of War, I thought looked really cool.
Yeah.
That looks so different.
Yeah. It's
that is a high compliment.
So, I mean, I know we talked about this a couple months ago when there was like the leaked screenshot where it's like, oh, this looks like a Norse theme. But this kind of filled that in, and it shows like a 10-minute demo of Scottish Kratos. I don't know. Norse Kratos. Teaching his son how to hunt, which is, I only watched like the first minute or two of it, and it looked really good. I just didn't want to watch all of it because it looks really good. So I'll probably play it at some point in time.
Yeah. He goes hunting, and they're attacked by an ogre, like this gigantic kind of thing. I don't know. It looks a little Soulsy to me a little bit. Like it's kind of over the shoulder. Like I think Souls or Witcher 3 is almost what it feels like. Definitely not kind of like the zoomed out like tappa 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 combo thing of like regular God of War.
Okay. It's now a over the shoulder tappa 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 combo thing.
Maybe.
All right. I would hate for them to lose that because the you know, button pressing gameplay aspect of God of War is a lot of fun. Like that is a genre of game that has a flavor to it that's unique, I think, from the Souls, the Witcher 3s, and all that stuff. So I hope they retain that kind of combo based fighting heavy game and don't just completely abandon it for like an Arkham style combat system or
what? Those things are practically the same.
Yeah. Arkham is pretty tappa tappy.
Arkham is tap tappy. Well, how to say this here, with reacting to enemies in one button. Whereas the God of War kind of has set combos that you learn. I think they're different flavors that are distinct, and that I would like to see stay distinct. I think there's room for that God of War flavor to continue to exist. I don't think it's an outdated way to play a third person combat game.
Yeah,
I just feel like there must have been some moment in like a boardroom where some executive just yells, "Why did no one tell us we could have a likable main character?"
I like Beardy Kratos, although I have no idea why he keeps his face paint.
Yeah, that's an odd one. And it was still
a tattoo.
I have no idea.
No, he was like white and red. Whether face paint or a tattoo. The other weird thing was that when you got your like charge up meter, you know, big god mode, it was still called Spartan Rage. Which
it's still the same character, right?
I think so.
What?
So I was assuming this was just like after he jacked everything up previously, kind of left to form a new life.
Oh, yeah, that's the way that I read it too. Does he die at the end of 3?
No,
it's like a 7-year-old game, dude.
Yeah, I don't remember whether or not he dies. No, I wasn't worried about spoilers. I just don't remember because the story is not what that game is about. No, my thought was more that this is just kind of a hard reboot for the series, and this is Norse Kratos completely independent of God of War, and that they kept the classic paint, you know, red and white aesthetic for. That's kind of the iconic brand reason, and not because this is the same character. I would be very surprised if it was the same character.
Yeah, I read it as the same dude.
Huh.
I think it would be kind of cool is if they just kept doing this, and you know this time the paint's kind of the woad or whatever, and just do the Assassin's Creed of we're going to figure out a way to make this aesthetic work in every culture.
I think the woad is more of a more of like a Welsh thing.
Is it okay?
Maybe. Yeah, and also I have no idea when. I guess when any of this was supposed to happen, but like if Norse was supposed to happen later or not. Like I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's. I'm sorry. Am I the only one who didn't think it was the same person?
I thought it was they were picking up with someone completely new, but just keeping that like visual sort of thing to be like this is the new guy. But
yeah, there's always a man. There's always some pain.
Actually, I mean that.
I think that is more than anything what the God of War series needs. Just like divorce from all that craziness Because by God of War 3, you ran out of gods to kill and you just had to go kind of insane. So I think it needs that reset of, this is a God of War like and not a,
it is a warlike god.
If they try to weave old Kratos into this game in any way, I think it will instantly lose any of the emotional credibility that it felt like they were really gunning for in that trailer.
Everybody in the chat that I saw, and I was kind of keeping up with the Slack chat, peeking at this, was kind of talking about how Kratos is going to die, and then the actual main character is going to be the son, later.
That's what I was about to say. That's how I'm hoping they're doing it, is end of the first act, Kratos takes, slips on banana peel braces.
$1 million babysit.
Yeah. God of War!
God of War!
Although, I really like the idea of this being Kratos' second family that he goes and visits sometimes.
This is an interquil.
Yeah.
So the thing I thought was weird was he kept on asking, did your mother teach you how to hunt it? And it was very, very dispassionate about the mother,
mm-hmm.
to the point. Well, okay. So if it's old God of War, I don't think anything of that because it's an emotionally stunted game anyway, but to the point where it made me wonder if this is, if he's not the kid's dad, he's definitely the kid's father figure.
Yeah. Right. I guess I assumed he was not biologically his father.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get that. Which, like talking about your mother, as opposed to referring to her by name.
Right. Yeah. So that felt weird. And I wasn't sure if they were going for Norse culture at some point, they hand the boy over from the mother to the father, whatever, or if it was genuinely not his kid, or if just God of War is still kind of emotionally stunted, so that came off weird. I don't know.
Christopher in the comments here, he mentioned something that we're going to talk about a little bit later, but he says it's disappointing that God of War showed Kratos forcing his kid of war to kill that animal. So yeah, just kind of slitting that elk's throat was weird.
Yeah, that's interesting because for me, hunting is a big part of my heritage, and it was a part of my rites of passage into manhood.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with killing an animal for food. I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching your kid how to do that. But mm-hmm. I could see if that's not part of your heritage, sorry, you had to see that.
Yeah, I guess to a certain degree, I kind of almost read it as the other way, in terms of it seemed kind of an illustration of killing's kind of a fairly serious thing, even if it's an animal.
Yeah. Right. Kid wasn't he wasn't ready for it. Or right. What was it? When I went back and looked at it and say, you said, mom always finished the job.
Right. Yeah. What I thought it was interesting because it felt like they were trying to go for that real kind of respectful angle, I'll call it. But at the same time, when the kid is targeting the deer, it's don't think of it as an animal. Think of it as a target, which, again, that's not in line with everything else.
But. Right.
And also those interruptions of Kratos murdering three or four hordes of things.
Yeah, it did seem a little weird that the kid's off. Just completely cool with that.
Yeah. No. Daddy kills. Yeah. Daddy kills.
I realize this is probably whatever, but I'm kind of glad that it looks like they got rid of the stupid chain things.
Mm. Oh yeah, those weren't those fused to his skeleton or something like that.
The white on him was the dust of his family, so doesn't really translate too well in this character.
Weird. We should probably move on here. Christopher was also kind of disappointed that Sony revisited Days Gone and the seemingly post-apocalyptic wilderness that was revealed to be another shoot hordes of dudes game. So Days Gone, this looks super boring to me up until it was just a trailer I'm a loner dottie, I'm a rebel. And then in the gameplay at the end, it was really fascinating tech of putting a bunch of enemies on the screen and having them kind of flow water as they try and climb over each other. Like that side of it looked pretty cool. But from a gameplay side of it, it's just kind of it's almost like Galaga or something like that. It's okay, fire here and then they'll run into the bullets and then you're done.
Yeah.
See, why would you ever turn to fire? that was the thing I couldn't figure out.
Well, and I just feel I'm not sure I can care about zombies anymore.
Right. I'm like, and so what was funny is like the trailer that they showed at the beginning, it didn't really have any zombies in it. Like it was kind of like, okay, this is post-apocalyptic, and they're talking about like, oh, when things fell, where were you at? And it was a little bit like the opening stuff for like Last of Us, not the opening.
So, yeah,
of Last of Us.
I was expecting it to be like a sequel or spin-off of The Last of Us.
Yeah, the Last of Us world. But it's like, oh, are they actually going to do like, oh, there was a category? No, it's just zombies. Like, it's not people who are monsters. It's actual monsters. Fuck.
Yeah. Was I the only one who didn't realize until way later that it's not a Naughty Dog game?
It looks naughty as fuck.
Yeah, that's. I just assumed it was. And I was like, oh, man, this is what The Last of Us team is working on. But it's not. It's by the people who did Cypher Filton.
Was it Cypher Filton? Siphon Filter. There we go.
Siphon Filter.
Oh, they're back from the dead. It's weird.
Yeah. So
that's. I'm surprised by that because I like those games, but I thought that this game looked like kind of like a cheap knockoff of The Last of Us, or like rather they're like, okay, The Last of Us is really successful. Let's copy that theme, but let's just put a bunch of zombies on the screen and just have a lot of gunplay. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think also it bears mentioning that I think in several instances of that escape, the zombies were only able to get to him because of all the bodies he created for them to climb on. My hopes may be that the this was just a tech demo to kind of show hey, we can shoot lots of guys, and then the actual game won't be as shooty. But
seeing the way that those zombies move just made me want that tech in Left 4 Dead.
Sure.
Yeah, really. This niche has already been filled, right?
Like, as many zombie games as we've had, we've never, at least that I can think of, there's never been one that has actually emphasized, like, numbers, really.
Mm-hmm. Dead Rising.
Yeah, Dead
but
Rising.
But, like, even in Dead Rising, like, the zombies have such a short sight radius that you never get, like, the wave tactics, where it's just, like, you literally cannot fight these things because, you're not fighting zombies. You're fighting, like, a swarm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, The Last Guardian has a release date. Ben, do you believe it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm expecting, like, an average game. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I saw the video of it. Like, the graphics do not look... They looked very... I feel like the style seems very different than what Shadow of the Colossus felt like. Whereas, like, that was very, like, painterly and mystical. This kind of feels like... I don't know. I don't know the words to describe it. Maybe, like, kind of like Pixar mixed with that in terms of, like, the facial animations or the character animations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It looks real eco-y.
Okay. It feels like a house divided because the kid is almost, like you said, Pixar, almost to,
yeah, looks
like
anime.
Yeah, like a cell shaded point almost.
Yeah,
and then the dog Griffin thing looks really, really realistic.
Yeah, so, and I guess the dog still looks like what it did when it was made, like however many years ago. So that looks that still looks similar to Shadow of the Colossus.
10 years ago, the number you're looking for is 10 years ago.
Oh God!
Thanks, Cole. Trying to bury that one. Yeah. So I don't think I'm gonna get my hopes up for the game. I'm gonna just try and expect that it'll be an average game and play it anyway. So
yeah, that way you can be surprised.
Yeah.
I expect it to be pushed into Q1 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Horizon Zero Dawn. People were going crazy about this. This is about the time I tuned in live. That is this aesthetic doesn't really do it for me. Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, I actually think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So how was the reaction to this in the theater?
Very positive. So this is, like I said, the crowd was mostly silent. This is one of the places where they erupted in applause.
Okay. How do you guys feel about it? Because I'm just not feeling it.
I feel better now that I've seen gameplay. I
was trying to figure out which game this was. This is a cavewoman robot animal game.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. I really liked the way the game looked in motion. And while I think some of the aspects shown off were a little staged, like some of the dialogue stuff.
Yeah.
And then like the way she used tracking. that unless there's a lot more to that that they weren't showing, and I hope there is, those seemed like red herrings. But everything else, like the moment to moment, seemed like it would be a lot of fun.
I like the idea of like pinning down these gigantic creatures with like the harpoons and stuff like that. That seems cool to me. However, like the second they're like, oh, this thing is weak to fire, and then opens up the crafting menu. It's like, okay, I need to hope that I have this many, you know, pieces of garbage to mash up against this piece of garbage to make the thing. Like, is it paused? Like, am I doing that? Well, it's just so, you know, I'm not against crafting when it's, you know, something where you're kind of like building something, but it's like, oh, well, you know, in order to kill this, we need to do some like bookkeeping to.
What if it was more like The Witcher style, where it's less about, it's more like emphasizing preparation before an attack?
Yeah, well, that's fine. you know, or if it's like simplified enough that it's like, okay, you need to know like which types of ammo to like switch between. But like the way they showed it off was like, oh, this is just a major part of it. You're going to, you know, stop looking at this majestic, you know, trash dinosaur to like, you know, again, do some like bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would argue that The Last of Us did a really good job with that kind of crafting system.
Mm-hmm.
And in Horizon Zero Dawn, it felt similar to that.
Mm.
So as long as they can keep that kind of vein, I think it'll be okay. If they make it too complicated, which I was disheartened by the number of options that showed up on the wheel every time they brought up the weapon select.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Well, especially if you're considering you're doing this, you're trying to make these selections with an analog stick. Like, I generally can't do, like, 8 options reliably.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that the combat is driven by learning about and being knowledgeable about your enemy. And that, you know, knowing its weak points, knowing the type of damage that it's weak to are both important things.
Yeah.
Like, I think that could be a lot of fun. As long as it doesn't get too bogged down.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a straight up Monster Hunter thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could also, I think this one could be pretty, you know, its overall success be pretty reliant on how good the storyline is. Like, not to state the obvious, but like, I could see this being something that like the storyline could be either really epic and, you know, trippy and interesting and thought-provoking, or it could just be like every you know post-apocalyptic, you know, they lost touch with nature and, you know, technology turned on them, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
technology turned into nature.
Yeah, technology turned on them and then into nature.
Yeah. Detroit. So this is
that
the new
cool.
This is the new David Cage version. This I call this Blade Runner shit. So in the gigantic like flowchart that they showed, one of the boxes just read dialogue in all caps. So I'm still gonna play it because I've never learned not to touch the burner. But
wait, so who is this guy?
David Cage, this is the Beyond Two Souls, Heavy Rain guy.
Fuck.
Oh, but it looks so good.
I don't know, like, I'm still gonna play it, like, it's but it's gonna be like a laugh a minute thing.
I feel like even more, like, we discussed this as we're walking out, and we said, you know, one of the things we said is, like, I feel like I, you know, almost wish it would just be, like, literally that one scenario is the entirety of the game, and just build it wide instead of deep, you know, just... You know, make it be a thing where, you know, every playthrough takes, you know, an hour, but you play through it 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, I think, Dennis, you said, like, or just kind of a number of these scenarios. And I feel like that's even more so in this case, because we know once the game gets past a couple hours, it's going to fall apart now.
Yeah, under its own weight.
I would love to see a series of vignettes that they write to really, really widely diverge based on player choice. But that to enable that, they can make it disconnected from each other.
It's subtitle.
I think that would be great.
Dennis, its subtitle is Become a Human. Like, this is going to be like a long journey where he's hunting his peers, but like, oh, how do I tell them? Like, it's just Blade Runner.
I know. I want to believe, though.
I mean, like, I want more. Okay, so I want more good stuff to exist than bad stuff. You know, like, I would, that's good. Like, if this thing can surprise us, I'm more than willing to be wrong.
Let's say it this way. If there's a demo for this game, it's going to be fantastic. Even if the actual game sucks, I would love to play a demo for this game.
Ben is somebody who's kind of been invested in this, kind of along with me, in Quantic Dream for a while. Like, what's your take?
Well, until he starts batting below 500 for me, then I'll try it. So.
Okay, so Indigo Prophecy, Heavy Rain. I
haven't played it.
Okay.
So I've only played Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls.
Okay.
And Heavy Rain was good. Beyond Two Souls, not great at all. So I don't see any actors I recognize in this trailer, so that's a good sign.
Right.
Yeah.
No Willem face.
Mm-hmm. Scared him off of that.
But then I also hear pretty realistic American accents, so that seems like a bad sign. So I don't know.
Guys, Resident Evil.
Yeah, that's so disappointing.
What?
I feel like instead of, you know, Resident Evil 6 was a fairly, you know, unique, interesting game, whereas it's let's do like another you know, dime a dozen survival horror game.
I don't know. Like, from what it appears, and, you know, very much so, this could be like a different kind of beast, like, mm-hmm. or like not like, like not representative. But like, if everything is like this and it is a, you know, kind of like first person kind of thing, like I'd be down with that. Like I would be down with them trying something different, like, you know, steering away from the action based kind of thing and making it more like exploration again, and like more exploration atmospheric, because that's really what I want in my survival horror games.
Sure.
So here's what I was really disappointed by, is that I thought this was going to be Matrix the game from the opening trailer, but it wasn't. Because the opening part of the trailer, you pick up a phone and it says, they're coming for you. Get out of there or they're going to kill you. And then you put it down. And it looks like the room from the Matrix. And it's like, oh, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea what this is going to be. Like, when it started up, I thought it was going to be like a Condemned game. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah. Even like up till the end when they revealed like Resident Evil, like nothing about this screamed Resident Evil to me.
Yeah,
which is great, because like it's the seventh entry in a series and it is not like, you know, just kind of relying on the weight of its own heritage to, mm-hmm. you know, to like, you know, to pave its way.
It really bothered me how many weapons he walks past in the course of the course of the trailer.
Yeah.
And like, how few boulders were uppercutted in this.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, I don't know. I don't like playing, like, survival horror games where my character's an idiot. Hmm. It's like, you're in a fracking kitchen. Get a knife or a cleaver or something.
He's trying to run, you know?
No, he's walking.
Running is a lot easier when the guy is gasping for air because you stabbed them in the lung.
Oh, man.
Gus writes, I liked how Resident Evil 7 looks to be an amazing horror game. Dishonored 2 looks amazing. And Persona 5 got a North American release date. And then disappointed by something that comes along in the Nintendo side of things. Yeah, it's a... I don't know. So... I'll be curious if this ends up being like another like third person kind of thing with the first person bits mixed in, like a Silent Hill 4 style thing. So the demo's available now, and you can play it, and it's very short. I streamed it actually, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot there. Although afterwards, when I did some Googling, it's the kind of thing that is meant to like a little bit like PT, except instead of having like a bunch of loops, it kind of branches in very subtle ways. Mm-hmm. So like you'll get through the demo in like 20 minutes, but you can go back through it and like take a different path and resolve it in a different way to get like different stuff.
So what is the thing that is apparently trying to kill you. I mean, are they zombies or?
So in the trailer, there were zombies and stuff like outside, but in this, it's just a dude. So the way that each of these scenarios ends is like a guy in a raincoat and with a scraggly beard comes up and says, "Welcome to the family." And then he like hits you with an axe. Yeah, it's a crossover. It's a crossover. Konami crossover or Capcom crossover. But no, so like in the teaser, then yeah, that's the thing. But like none of this really feels like the actual version of it. Although, you know, it has like an inventory system and stuff like that. Like
Okay. They're
doing like a little bit of like inventory Tetris and stuff, which I'm down with.
I could see that.
It is a pretty and horrifying game. It does grime very convincingly.
So this is a little bit getting to some of the VR thing, but I'm really surprised that, you know, with what you're saying with third person, first person, that like no one is trying the Grand Theft Auto 5 thing of just like a lot of third person shooters would probably work if you just made them first person.
I don't know. To my mind, those are two very different styles of play.
Sure.
And like the gunplay in Grand Theft Auto 5 was very much outside of the first person side of it, like a lot of lock on and stuff.
Okay.
Whereas like most third person shooters are still like, yeah, you could do some lock in, but yeah, I don't know. I see them as being kind of like two relatively different things. For this, you know, I'd be curious, like there's the, you know, in the teaser, there are no weapons.
Sure.
And there's no combat really. Although one of the endings I didn't get, like has you getting an axe, but you just use it to break some boxes. Yeah, I don't know. And apparently, so that like this isn't PlayStation exclusive. From what I heard, the VR stuff is PlayStation right now, which also lends the theory that this is going to be not entirely first person. Like it might be kind of a mix kind of thing. But like we're gonna know pretty soon. Like this thing comes out in January. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To cover VR stuff because they put a good amount of time towards it. The stuff looked cool, but I was left with this just really uneasy feeling that it was just another PlayStation Move or PlayStation Eye before it.
Yeah.
Like it felt like there were going to be a bunch of big name games that had little segments that they were kind of arm twisted into making compatible with VR, and that it would be largely abandoned, you know, 6 months in.
Particularly the Final Fantasy seemed a little like, what?
Yeah, I like the idea of shooting a behemoth. Like everything, you're right. Like, you know, when the Star Wars music started up, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. I love the idea of a VR cockpit X-Wing, right? Like that's kind of cool.
They showed more Star Wars than EA did.
Yeah, especially if you factor in Lego Force Awakens. But like nothing felt like substantial, like Batman Arkham VR. We didn't really get any gameplay out of that. And I understand there are probably difficulties in like conveying that experience. Just if there is something very special about the VR-ness, just showing a first person thing isn't going to get it across. But like, you're absolutely right. This does feel like a dalliance in a way that I know they're not hoping it is, but like they're not exactly working very hard to make it not that.
Yeah.
Well, this also strikes me as kind of particularly a risk for them, just because I mean, I know this is entirely unfair, but you know, they sort of are in kind of the Me Too category already, just because like the Vive and the, you know, Oculus Rift are kind of already doing their thing.
Feels like they're fighting a different battle though. I mean, just with the lower price point and with being specifically for a console.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I'm saying is it then therefore seems that they're even more at risk of it just becoming kind of something piddly.
Yeah. Well. I know. Ben, how do you feel about the Arkham VR thing?
I mean, I've already played the games, so if it's just playing the same games again, I don't know how interested I'd be in that. I was excited when I first saw the trailer.
They can't do that, right? Like those games are so much designed for a third person perspective. It's got to completely just jack things up if you go to first person VR.
There's like
that's got to change level design.
There's a couple of parts of the second game where it switches to a first person perspective. Mm-hmm. And like, I know, like, when you go in like the boat and like the Easter egg for the Scarecrow and stuff, like, but yeah, I don't know how they could. Yeah, I agree. Where I don't know how they could do that. I was excited that it was like another Arkham game, even though they said that they might not be doing another one, but I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know. It seems like a little side thing. I didn't get the sense that they were remaking it. I thought that it was going to be a just kind of a case of like here's a little side thing, like almost like a first person horror kind of thing, like a little bit of this, you know, some of the stuff they did in Night, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
I think that could be pretty cool.
But little side thing is exactly what has me terrified.
Well, yeah.
they churn out pretty consistently good products. I feel, you know, I trust in them so far.
Yeah.
No, terrified for VR.
Oh, I see.
As
yeah.
a little side thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15, they showed a little bit more like gameplay stuff at Microsoft's. I was a little bit more excited about it then. I was more excited than a lot of people. Like, people are like, oh, I don't like the idea of dodging this big thing's arms, but like, this is the first time I've really seen like the real-time combat. Like, I never really played the demo that came out, but like, this, you know, the more I see of it, like, it's a very gradual, like, just kind of like notching up or ratcheting in, like, okay, I'm down with, you know, what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Infinite Warfare, they started this and it does not look like a Call of Duty thing at all whatsoever. Like, actually, like, you're in the starship and then you're like boarding this bigger ship to disable it. It really didn't look Call of Duty until it, like, you know, until you were fighting on the surface of the ship.
Yeah, it felt like Battlefield before that.
Yeah. Battlefield space.
Although I feel like to a certain degree it's kind of I feel like you can't tell how not Call of Duty it is until you try not doing exactly the one thing they did.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it doesn't feel like Call of Duty until you feel the walls.
Right. And I mean, I a little bit, I'm being snarky, but I feel like legitimately, I feel like, you know, if you look at like any given part of Call of Duty, it could, you know, it could look like anything. What makes it feel like Call of Duty is how set PC it. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so this, maybe it was the change in venue to like disabling this bigger ship by boarding it and going inside of it. Like, I'm down with that. Like, I was down with it in Battlefront 2, and I'll be down with it here, you know? Like, maybe it was that. Like, it made it feel like a little bit more wide open. Honestly,
sure.
Than that, but that could totally be, you know, like a lie. I don't know, like maybe just a like divorced of, okay, the set piece is there's a building that's falling down off in the distance and some people are fighting in front of it. Maybe it's just a different kind of set piece and it could feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, hard to say. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to tell interesting stories. But
is there
I don't disagree with that statement.
I don't know, especially I feel like they're kind of doing from the plot like summaries I've seen so far, I feel like they're kind of doing the, you know, Star Wars episode 1-3 thing of the your characters aren't really the good guys, therefore we need to make the bad guys just cartoonishly evil in order to still have them be the bad guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea about the story. I just know that I saw boarding a big ship and disabling from the inside,
which is pretty badass. Like, I'm gonna give you that. Yeah.
Is there any chance that the Crash Bandicoot remasterings are not just a complete garbage fire?
No, that was where it was fun to be in a crowd, because you saw that, you know, he walked out, Crash Bandicoot was like, yeah, and then they like Skylanders.
You could hear that on the stream too, like the second that it's okay, well, we're remastering that and remastering these incredibly archaic games 1-3 and also what we actually have to show you is not that, but here's Skylanders. Like, people were ready to just kind of like just scream, cry and jizz at the same time when the Crash Bandicoot music's like came on, and you could have heard a pin drop on that stream when they mentioned Skylanders.
Yeah,
be fair, that's not I'm not even
what
I was going to say, to be fair, that's, you know, presumably someone on the internet's fetish, but...
Well, of course. Yeah, just, man, Skylanders are so small. So let's get to the last two. And I realize that we're spending more time. Is it any surprise that we're spending more time on Sony than everybody else? They were being a little bit more methodical with this.
It genuinely seems like they had more games than some of the others. Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, I realized there was a PC gaming show, wasn't there? And I missed that.
I missed it too. That was in the afternoon when I was working, and I, in good conscience, couldn't watch any more press conferences.
Yeah. So sorry, that's a blind spot for the show.
Yeah, and I couldn't find a good recap of that. And also, when I like the coverage on it was spotty afterwards.
I mean, one thing, I don't know if it was at that, but one thing I saw that was looked pretty cool is the guys that make Payday are basically making Payday in World War II, where you're stealing from the Nazis. Which
so
I feel
can
like,
actually feel good about shooting people.
Yeah, I feel like it can go one of two ways. I feel like it could either be like finally Payday that doesn't seem so creepy, or be like, this is a game where like its approach to killing already felt really crass, and now since the people you're killing are zombies, basically, Nazis, the gloves are maybe going to come off, and it's just going to be completely,
completely unhinged.
Yeah,
Payday, Nazi gold. So we've got some responses about the second to last one here. Steven writes, Death Stranding looks like another wonderful Kojima mind F, and I'll surely enjoy it. Lego Force Awakens feels like the epitome of things that are unnecessary. Hyperbole! Ryan writes, all about that Dishonored 2 and Titanfall. Also excited to see Kojima and Norman Reedus stick it to Konami with Death Stranding. Dennis, you shared this picture. I guess it's a tweet or it's a Polygon thing of what appears to be Kojima drinking from a cup that says Konami Tears. Although I'm sure like that is obviously photoshopped on there.
Yes. It was tweeted by Norman Reedus, though.
Yeah, Norman Reedus, the star once of Silent Hills and the star of Death Stranding. One more thing here. Most excited by Kojima's presence. After all the drama from last year, I was pleased with the respect that he was given. And the thought that his creativity is not being handcuffed to Metal Gear anymore makes Death Stranding the most exciting game reveal. That's Derek who says that. That reveal, like the reveal of Kojima himself, felt like a bigger deal than the reveal of the game.
Yeah, right.
Because they raised the curtain and he walked down, you know, he was like in fog and in lights.
Walked down too fast though. Did that bother anyone else?
Yeah, that really bothered me.
Like, milk it,
like,
man.
Like, dude, you're falling into the bottomless pit. Stay on the platform. This is a gaming convention. You should know that.
Yeah. So this was just like just a trailer, and the thing is like, oh, this is in real time. Okay, cool. Like, a lot of stuff is in real time, but okay. And it was like really bizarre. It was like naked Norman Reedus with a C-section scar holding a baby who turned out to be a ghost.
So
he left
weird,
oily handprints.
See, I figured he was trying to like balance out the for quiet. Now we have a naked dude.
There's always been plenty of man ass. I'm not that doesn't excuse quiet by any means, but like I was very happy to see the presence of Kojima man ass front and center.
Has there been any like someone said earlier like our trailer's supposed to tell you what a game's about. has there been any like information whatsoever about what this game is?
No, not really. Like, it's all
just
aesthetic.
Guy fucks up dolphins.
Oh yeah, he Dolphin Puncher XD. No, just like he's on this beach that's filled with dead sea life. Standing underneath.
I read it as the ocean bed, and that everything was dead because he had somehow evaporated the ocean. That was, and this is Kojima. Come on,
yeah.
That was my read on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the characters will have a long discussion about it.
Pretty good. I think that Kojima, he can get around a lot of the rules. I'm going to arbitrarily declare that. Super creepy, those what appear to be gigantic robots evangelioning over him in the sky as it goes. Yeah, but Death Stranding, it is a perfectly anime name, and I am down for a perfectly anime ride.
With the Reedus as my pilot.
Yep. Happy sad Reedus holding the baby.
Reedus is my co-pilot.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Norman Reedus. And it's cool to see them going collabo. It is a very strange mix, but there it is. Any other thoughts about Death Stranding? How was the crowd when Kojima came out and when Death Stranding hit up?
That was another high point. So it was the Zero Dawn, it was the Crash Bandicoot reveal before they said anything, and then it was the Death Stranding.
Actually, okay. I think that was another one of the heckler kind of getting owned, because I believe like halfway through they're like, oh, and we've got like a special guest, someone like shouted out a joke about it not being Kojima. It's like, oops.
This last thing is a thing that I'm kind of surprised to be excited for, but here I am. But yeah, Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah.
Being made by Insomniac.
Yeah.
I'm down.
That seems like a good fit. They've already done like 3 games about people flying around cities, so.
Yeah.
It looks like they're... Was there only the one Spider-Man game that actually had like... the web physics thing, because yeah, it kind of looks 2. Like they're bringing that back.
Spider-Man 2 and 3, cool. Like 3 had it as well, and it was like limited in limited quantities in like the Ultimate Spider-Man games and stuff like that. Like it's definitely around, but like 2 was the one that had like the wide open city, which is, I mean, like it's Insomniac, so it's going to have that too. So
right. And yeah, and I mean I love the, like, at least in that one, the whole like there have to actually be things for you to hook on to for you to be able to hook on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, Ben?
That looks kind of cool.
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably wait and see how the reviews are for the game before I buy it or not.
It's a licensed superhero game.
Yeah. I don't know. I could easily see it going either way, where it could be like, oh, this is a really cool game, but at the same time, Spider-Man's been done so much that it's like, what new ground are they going to cover with this game that old games haven't?
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped the movies.
That's certainly true.
I'm pretty jazzed for the new Spider-Man movie after seeing Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So speaking of superhero stuff, I love that Infamous 2 is now everyone's Iron Man edition.
What?
Or not Injustice 2, rather.
Oh yeah, that was funny. watching the trailer, it's just a series of heroes that are not Iron Man having Iron Man's armor click into place.
Yeah, like it legitimately, it is. Yeah,
that's pretty funny. So any final thoughts, like any other stuff that we didn't hit here? I know that we've been going for a little while, but it's a big show. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, shit, we didn't even hit Nintendo. Really, all that was there was like amiibo stuff and then Zelda, which looks like a big like wide open like playground kind of thing.
The fact that you almost forgot it says a lot.
You know,
that's,
just, like,
that's
it,
all you need to
it,
know.
It was today, and really I only like just like that, like that is just because I didn't have the like the tab open, or I closed the Nintendo recap tab because that was it. Like it looks cool, like the it has a subtitle, Breath of the Wild. I like that it is like that wide open kind of thing. Like there was no dungeon stuff there. Like it was all Hyrule Field, which I don't know if that's representative, but like I'm down with Hyrule Field taking a more, you know, kind of central role in this kind of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
I want to throw in with one thing, and I don't even know if it was announced at E3 or not, but it was a game that was announced like in the past week or so. That's in like alpha phase, where it's a shooter called Morphe's Law, working title, where the premise of it is it's like a regular multiplayer shooter that you typically see. The only difference is when you shoot somebody, your body part gets bigger of what you shot them, if that makes sense. So if you shoot them in the head, your head gets bigger. If you shoot them in the hand, your hand gets bigger.
So you can go ever long.
Why are you going all for groin shots?
I have a date later. But you're a woman. I don't understand.
So the idea is it's self-balancing, where the more you shoot other people, the bigger you get, so the easier you are to shoot. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, so what happens is the game, the winners of the game is whoever has a cumulative bigger size. So you add up the mass of both teams, and whichever one's larger wins. But the thing that's interesting is the physics with it is like if you shoot somebody else a whole bunch of times and downgrade your size a whole bunch, or sorry, if somebody shoots you a whole bunch of times and downgrades your size, you can get in certain places that other people can't, like cracks in the wall and stuff like that. And then other things is like, is if you shoot your like legs and get them really big, then you can like jump higher than other people. And so you can jump to different places that other people can't get to.
What's this called?
It
this
just becomes Katamari Damacy.
Yeah. I'm Joey Big Legs.
It's called Morphe's Law. There was a trailer announced for it this last week, but I thought it was a really cool concept for a game. Don't even know if it was on E3 or not, but yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The only other thing we missed was actually from the Microsoft press conference. ReCore looks pretty good.
It didn't do anything for me, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is like, it's like a game in the tradition of the platformers that I have a lot of nostalgia for. So.
Okay, yeah. Now that's the new Keiji Inafune game. And yeah, just didn't work for me. Like, I imagine, so it was mostly the way it looked. More than anything, I imagine if I got my hands on it, I'd probably change my tune. But as it stood, it was just kind of hard to, you know, track with it.
Was Hob, did that, is that the right name? Did that have a thing, anything this, time? It seems like I saw that in a trailer or something.
What is that, Calvin's friend?
Yes. No, it was like the... It's kind of like indie Zelda. Indie old school Zelda that looks really, really cool.
Yep, I have not seen that. Yeah. Cool. Well, did you have anything else that that we missed, David?
Nah, I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you everybody who wrote in. If we didn't get to your stuff, I'm sorry. We tried to run and gun it a little bit, so we didn't cover any new ground. But I think I got most of the big stuff. A lot of people just said Zelda. which at least we sneaked it in there. Thank you everybody for writing in. We've got for whenever we have a normal multiplayer, just check out facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, and those go up on Tuesday afternoons. But yeah, let's do kind of a truncated the grind. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Okay. One moment. The grind. Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing for the past week or so. Dennis, because of your new acquisition, I want to make sure we hear from you first.
Yeah, and this was actually influenced by you, Cole. I don't know if you realized that. Okay. Yeah. So I think on air in the last episode, we were talking about, you know, my lusting after various PC games and talking about Overwatch. And you said, you know, if you didn't do it for XCOM, you're not going to do it for Overwatch. And I agreed with you. And then I got thinking afterwards, and I thought, but would I do it for XCOM and Overwatch?
Damn it. I didn't think to go into the international banking system and stop you from buying both.
Yeah. So that pushed me over the edge. I was like, yeah, I'd do that. And that started the Craigslist searching, which if you ever want to buy a gaming PC, go to Craigslist. There's a ton of people who just build PCs as like a hobby that are selling on there for incredibly cheap. So I would kind of send stuff to a couple friends who know about PCs, and they were like, dude, why am I building my own PC? These are amazing deals. Like, this is really good. What the hell?
Are they people like, there. Do you think they're getting like volume discounts on the parts and that's how they can afford to?
I don't know. The guy that I wound up buying from truly was like a hobbyist, and he was building PCs because that was like his fun thing to do, and he wasn't as concerned about turning a profit from it.
Weird.
So, I mean, he was, but he wasn't aggressively trying to make money. It was like, yeah, I built this, and then now I'm going to build. He's like, I did this quad core. Next up, I think I'm going to try like a six core or whatever or something. And there's this new thing I want to tinker around with. So it's just like a hardware enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's a free tip, I guess, for anyone looking to get the PC game.
I wouldn't have thought to do that. I would have, I'm curious if the price that you pay, which I don't want to know, if the price that you paid would be less than if you just bought the parts and put it together yourself. Obviously, yeah. You know, he's taking an awful lot of like, he's taking like 2 days worth of work off of your hands, but.
Yeah. It, based on Googling, yes, it is actually really, really a good deal.
Great.
So that's great. Picked up a gaming PC. First install was Overwatch. Did that the night I brought it home. And then second install was XCOM 2. So at long last,
our national nightmare is over.
Yeah. Overwatch is incredibly fun. It feels really, really easy to get into. But holy shit, is it a deep game. So, you know, I've been hanging out in the Overwatch Slack channel now that I have the game. And just a bunch of the different interactions between the various heroes' powers are really, really nuanced and surprising. And just I will be excited to see pro play for this game. Because once you really wrap your mind around how your character can interact with whatever other character you're up against, it makes for some really, really interesting confrontations. So there's, you know, there's a character that one of his abilities is for a short period of time, he will reflect bullets back at the person firing at him. But that also counts for like grenade projectiles. there's a hero that wears a mech suit, and her ultimate ability is she can fire that mech suit forward as like a self-destruct thing.
Oh,
yes.
The
back of it. And you can reflect that back at her if you do it right.
so you can reflect, like, you reflect her whole self back at her?
You reflect a mech suit back with a katana. How awesome is that? Like, this game is freaking amazing. So I like that it felt completely friendly to just pick up and go with. And there's also a lot in terms of, even if you know, it doesn't hold a big kill death ratio in front of your face. And there's a lot of ways to feel like you're contributing that aren't direct combat.
It gives you a big like, oh, everybody gets a trophy thing at the end of it, right? Saying like, okay, this is the person who was who got the most like supports, and the person who did this.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Which is like GoldenEye.
I'm super down for that. Like, I'm down with anything that like emphasizes, you know, like pushing a ratio.
Yeah. It's cool that that's there, incredibly friendly, especially for someone who thought of himself as traditionally really bad at shooters. But there's still a lot of depth and nuance there. At shooters part.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask this question, and you can segue into your thing, because what I want to know is more important. Like, I've heard tell that it's just like way too intense right now for somebody like new. Like, the ship has already sailed, especially on PC. Like, are you finding it to be a supportive environment? Like, are you just getting like washed over, or are you able to like find your niche and like hold your own?
I have found it very supportive, but I am never not playing in a group, and almost never not playing in a full team of six of people that are either from Duckfeed or from another friend group. So my experience might be atypical. But as long as you're playing with Duckfeed people, and that's really easy to do because there's always someone on, it's been incredibly friendly and supportive, as the Slack is, right?
Right. Is there a friends list kind of thing?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Go on to your thing now. I'm sorry. I just wanted to know that.
Yeah. So I've always thought of myself as bad at shooters, especially console shooters. Like, I've never been good using the twin sticks for that particular type of game. Partially because I don't think they're well suited to it, but I digress. This is the first time I've played a shooter with a mouse and keyboard since grade school. I think like since forever.
What was your last one?
Yeah. It was Rainbow Six.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So long, long time ago. My first game, I went 15-1, and the one was because I accidentally fell off a cliff. Like, I killed myself.
So yeah, I don't feel like I need to contribute to this conversation anymore.
So I'm not at that level all the time, but I've found a lot more success playing with a mouse and keyboard than I have ever playing with a controller.
Right? Mm-hmm.
In a way that will make it hard. Yeah, David, I'm a convert. You got me.
I don't know that anybody
that
ever
make
argued
it hard to go back and play with a controller.
I don't know if anybody ever argued with you, David, that mouse and keyboard wasn't better. It's just whether or not twin stick is acceptable in certain circumstances.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it is acceptable, and that's when it is literally a twin stick shooter.
Rocket League's better with controller.
I believe that.
That's
I think most driving games and stuff, I think, are.
actually play with a wheel and some pedals. I've got a go-kart rig that I've taken the engine out of. And
I could play and have like a big red rocket button, I think that would in fact make the game better.
I never have anybody over, so I can just kind of put that in the middle there. Continue. Cool.
Are you the neck beard from here?
My neck is very clean shaven. Thank you. Continue. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. So I'm immensely enjoying Overwatch, and I'm sure, you know, there have already been a lot of words spilled on it in this podcast and in every other too. So I'll leave that be.
Struggling for popularity. So
yeah, we should, no, it's like, really
yeah, awesome praise its way.
Could use all the help it can get. Yeah. Tell me about XCOM, because you're the person who knows about that and you finally have a chance to play it.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The first time my Sky Ranger dropped in soldiers, I teared up a little bit.
Cool.
Like I was so freaking excited.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. You can still feel things.
Now, all right. Question. Did you cry when your baby was born? Like a couple months ago?
Yes.
Be honest. All right.
I look at Milo and I feel nothing. No. He's a very cute baby.
Yeah, but it was a moment akin to like Star Wars, The Force Awakens, being like, it's back. Yeah. So that was something special.
Crystal,
I feel like the difference is Star Wars is not actively hostile and abusive to you.
No, I mean, they're episodes 1 through 3.
Okay, carry on.
That's like the cheapest, easiest joke anybody can make. I kind of feel bad for saying that.
No, Set and Spike, man. You're just going to let that one drop.
Set and Spike. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I saw you expressing some salt over not doing it that well at it. Like, so it's hard?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a combination of it's hard and also it is a very different game. Mm. I don't think they expressly designed it to punish people who were coming in from the earlier games. But there's a lot of new mechanics going on that just put me back in that, oh my God, I'm getting wrecked. Like I need to figure this shit out kind of space, which, you know, with there is a lot of fun to be had in that curve of I am horrible at this right now. And I struggled to get through a mission without having a lot of people killed. But I know I'm going to get better. Right. Like that is what makes XCOM so fun. And that makes it to when you get to the point of mastery and you can just, you know, churn through this stuff and you're doing Iron Man runs and all that. It feels that much better.
Right.
You've put in the work to get there and it really feels like something you've earned. Mm-hmm. So that's very much there. I'm just very much on the beginning of that ramp.
Yeah. A lot of friction and gravity working against you.
Yeah. So the main new mechanic is concealment. So basically in the old XCOM, whenever an enemy showed up on the screen, it was immediate confrontation. They knew you were there, you knew they were there, and you fought. In this one, it's possible to have enemies kind of show up on the fringes and not be aware of you, and then get a little indicator for what they can see and what they can't see.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then you get a couple of turns or a turn to try to position your squad and then begin the engagement favorably.
Hmm.
And the way that works is there's a thing called Overwatch where you kind of set your soldier to fire at the first thing he sees. Normally that comes with an aim penalty, mm-hmm. but if you do it from concealment, the penalty is taken away.
Wow, this makes snipers make a lot more sense.
Yes. So that in theory works. And then in practice, I was just screwing it up. I thought over and over and over again, because I'd set up everyone in Overwatch and I'd try to break concealment, but it was always either at the wrong time or the enemy didn't go the way I thought they were going to go. And it felt like more often than not, I was putting myself at a disadvantage by trying to leverage this new mechanic rather than an advantage. Hmm. So I won't even say I broke down and Googled. Like I Googled. That's the XCOM is not unlike Dark Souls in that it really is best enjoyed with a wiki in hand.
Right.
And saw like, oh, okay, really to have that be effective, you're supposed to set it up so that the enemy triggers the Overwatch versus you triggering it. So you want them to walk into your line of sight versus you walking into their line of sight.
It's an attack of opportunity.
Right. Yeah. And so that made me feel a little bit better about being horrible because, you know, it's not just that I'm bad at what I was trying to do. It's what I was trying to do is not in line with the game's mechanics, which is a lot easier to fix than I'm bad at what I'm trying to do. So I'm still at the very beginning of the game. I've done maybe two or three missions. I'll probably stream it at some point. I apologize to anyone who tries to watch because it is a lot of me standing, pacing behind the microphone, trying to make up my mind over one move over the course
cursing
of 15
under
minutes.
Your breath.
Yes. So,
damn you,
so
Fortune, for putting me in this condemnable predicament.
Damn you, aliens. Aliens of Fortune.
Are there civilians in this, or is that a consideration at all? Like, is there any sort of tactical considerations around that sort of thing?
There are. So the storyline of XCOM 2 is that the canonical ending of the first XCOM is you lost. So you did not get the good ending, and that's canon. So Earth has been enslaved to aliens for 20 years. And they've kind of rewritten history that, hey, they're these benevolent saviors rather than an occupying force. And consequently, a lot of your missions do take place in populated city centers. So especially one of the missions where I started out in concealment, that had a lot of civilians that I had to navigate around. Because if they see you, that also breaks your concealment.
But there's having to figure out ways to limit, civilian casualties, stuff like that, you know, win the hearts and minds.
Once shit hit the fan, everyone ran away. I imagine at some point, you know, like the alien enemies, one of their abilities is like mind control. So I could very much see that becoming a mechanic where they perhaps mind control a civilian to flank you or something like that. That would be interesting. But the macro game is very much about, hey, you're doing these missions to win the hearts and minds of the civilians. Like, kind of show, hey, there is a resistance that exists. It is not, you know, just evil terrorists like the aliens are painting it, and we can help, we can free us from this. So cool. That's as much as I feel comfortable saying so far, because like I said, I am really early on in it. It is bringing me all the joy and frustration that the original XCOM did, and that is great.
Awesome.
What difficulty are you playing on?
Just the normal. So I forget what they call it in this mode. Because, you know, they got to have stupid creative names instead of, like, easy, medium, hard. It's like veteran Iron Man and double Iron Man or whatever.
Cool. Is that all?
That's it for me.
Cool. I'm going to do mine real quick. And, in fact, it's not even a full discussion. I just want to say, really, the only game I've been playing recently is Echo Knight Beyond. I finished up my Silent Hill 4 stream because I remembered that I stream. I started up because I want to continue doing kind of these weird bastard horror games. I started playing From Software's 2004 kind of sci-fi survival horror game. It's like a first-person exploration thing where you are solving ghost problems on a moon base. All of that is on Duckfeed's YouTube page, the live archives of that stream. By the time this comes out, I'll probably have finished that. And I'll be moving on to Resident Evil 3. David, what?
Does it have anything that, like, someone who's played some of the Souls stuff could recognize as being, like, From DNA?
No. I mean, maybe there is a... So it has a... It's obviously an extension of the Echo Knight series, but even that is, like, before... That is before and adjacent to, like, any of the Kingsfield stuff. Yeah, this is just like a weird, like, side story kind of thing. People are really surprised that From did anything besides, like, Armored Core and Souls. And so that's why I like doing this thing, because, like, it really is, like, this kind of, like, weird, like, I don't know if it's a great game, but it's this weird hidden thing that is kind of beyond most people's consideration. And, like, even a used copy on Amazon goes for, like, $50. And, like, a new copy, like, not even, like, sealed in box or whatever, is, like, 150. So, like, it is this weird thing that is lost to time, but it was totally released here, and it is very interesting at the very least. So, yeah.
Gotta love me some haunted moon base. I'll take that setting every time.
Yep. Pretty great. But yeah, it's just like a first person game. We're exploring this and doing like regular adventure game kind of puzzles. Oh, also I finished Steins Gate. That game has some really serious and foundational pacing problems, but it pays off. Pays off okay. I'm watching the anime now, which I never thought I'd do, but that also is really good. And having English voices makes the characters a little bit more clear. Like the main protagonist comes across a lot better there. It's good. Hmm. I like it. David, what you got?
Sure. Well, been playing Dark Souls 3. I feel like probably I went through and like cleaned up some of the like versus people fights in the Smoldering Lake, and then like killed off the worm thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, and I feel like I obviously need to be vague, but just the fight directly after Sullivan is just complete bullshit.
Hmm. Yeah, we really can't talk about that.
Yeah, well, I guess I just like in extreme generalities, the fight is very much entirely dependent on what moves the boss decides to use.
Yeah.
And I know it's really, really bullshit.
Hmm. So. Yeah, it is very much like a magic focus kind of boss. So you have to like it's hard to know when and where to dodge.
Yeah, and I like the idea, like in general, of the, you know, magic focus boss where like it's all about dodging. Mm-hmm. It's just I think the problem I think it's just the selection of moves isn't particularly good.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
But yeah, so I'm pretty much just power leveling it. I figure eventually I'll just get more powerful and be able to beat it.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Was that all?
Yeah. I guess, was it the prison tower?
Hmm.
It's just weird as fuck.
In High Wall of Lothric, or
the
place after Irithyll.
Yeah, the place where you join one of the covenants.
Hmm. Oh, like yeah, that's just like a classic like drop puzzle that's been in all of them. Demons 2-2, and yeah.
I just like why does it have a tail?
That relates to a Dark Souls 1 character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just really, really creepy. So, that's about it. Kill all the things, take all the souls.
Ben, how about you?
So mine's going to be pretty quick too. Played FTL, unlocked another sea ship, so I'm slowly working through those. Played Rocket League some more, still fun. Played this War of Mine some more. I made it to day 4 or so.
How crushed would you say your soul is?
What do you mean? In this War of Mine? Yeah. No, that's
just in general, you seem kind of like there's really no light left in your eyes.
Yeah, you guys put me on blast or something?
It's a fun mention. We just want to help.
No, so it's gotten better because I've just been scavenging from alone women. No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. The scavenging has gotten less dangerous, so I think I might have gone to a tough place the first game that I played. The thing that I can't really reconcile, though, is like when you play the game, it feels like a base building game. You're like, oh, okay, I'm getting more supplies and I'm, you know, upgrading all these systems or whatever. But it's a war game, you know what I mean? So it's like kind of incongruous, like the feeling of the gameplay versus the feeling of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll probably start to intersect more. Like I got robbed one night, so you know.
That's that is an ongoing thing.
So apparently, I'm supposed to make knives to defend myself. So mm-hmm. I mean that might be something where it's like, okay, the narrative will start to bleed into a seemingly like base builder game.
Yeah.
So. that's kind of where I'm at with that. So, I mean, I'll still keep playing it. I'm still somewhat interested in it, but yeah.
Eventually, like, you can, so like further down the tech tree, you get stuff like, you know,
it's further down the war crime tree as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You get stuff that helps you like grow food or like distill liquor to trade, and stuff like that. Like it's, you know, eventually the base building stuff like starts to obviate the need to go out and pillage as much.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, do you guys want to button it up?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this, our E3 recap plus some more show. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm trying to think of any new stuff that applies just to the show, but we're just kind of keeping on keeping on. Yeah, let's just kind of make it a thing. Just go and like us on Facebook, leave a rating or review in iTunes, and tell your friends. But otherwise, oh
yeah. So speaking of our Facebook page, we've hit 200 likes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So it's at a nice round number right now.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you very much. That is a good portion of the people who listen, actually. Like it is a substantial chunk. So yeah, we really appreciate that. That is definitely a really high level of engagement, if I can speak in brand terms or what have you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Meismith at MoneySmith777 on Twitter.
And I've been Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And stick around for some titles. All right, hit me with what you got.
All right, I've got Arachno the All-Spider.
Okay.
God of whoa. It looks naughty as fuck. Aliens of Fortune. And actually I think that's it.
Okay.
I've got Dolphin Puncher XD. I've got Siphon Filton.
That is an IGN joke.
Is it really?
Yeah, from what podcast is that? I think it's like the whatever an old IGN show. Cypher Filton was a
Cypher Filton
in joke from them. So.
Okay, all right.
I got Installing a God, and I got The Last Cardian.
Okay,
there, I was gonna say I can't have been the only one who wrote that down.
I wrote that one down too. I also had Dolphin Puncher XD.
Oh, nice.
Dennis,
yeah, I really like that one. So I had The Last Cardian, 100% Vent. Little Side Thing, and then Redis is my co-pilot.
All right. Redis is my co-pilot. The only other one I had is Push the Ratio from the Overwatch.
Yes.
And then yeah, at Last Cardian, 100% Vent, and Dolphin Puncher XD. some good stuff in here. The dark horse would be Arachno the All Spider, but I really feel like I like Dolphin Puncher XD.
Yeah, same.
You're right, David.
Yeah. Sorry.
You sound like a dolphin being punched.
And we're doing a VO session for that. We're multitasking.
Yeah.
Cool. Gotta show the dolphins who's boss, yeah. You know? they think they're so smart, but you know, if they're so smart, why don't they have opposable thumbs?
Soon.